series of lessons on why did Jesus die. Maybe I'll just have to cut these verses up and put the ones together that match. You know, but so many of them coincide. It'd be difficult to separate, except maybe just choose a theme and then get the verses that go with it. But Chris kind of gave me that idea when he preached several months ago and gave a theme and said, this word or this subject is found in all these books of the Bible. And I said, well, I can do that. I'll just give you the answer to the question, why did Jesus die? And just go through the Bible. But first of all, in number one, Jesus knew he would die. And these are the three times that Jesus foretold in prophecy of his impending death. In Matthew 16, from that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Matthew 17, while they were staying in Galilee, Jesus said to them, the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. Where am I? Got my bifocals. And they will kill him. And the third day he will be raised up. And they were exceedingly sorrowful. Matthew 20. Now Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples aside on the road and said to them, behold, we're going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests, the scribes, and they'll condemn him to death. Deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify. And the third day he will rise again. And then in that same chapter, giving a lesson on serving, he closed it out in verse 28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Wow. To answer the question, there'll be some theories concerning the resurrection of Jesus that he didn't die. There's several, half a dozen theories. He swooned or the disciples stole the body, things like that. So I just put this section right here just to illustrate, and we know this, but these are the verses that we'd use. How do you know that Jesus really died? Well, Luke 23, verse 46. Jesus cried out with a loud voice. He said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. King James says he gave up the ghost. So Scripture affirms he died. In verse 50, continuing the same thought, behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good man and just man. By the way, just kind of an aside, this Joseph of Arimathea is a member of the council. He was a secret disciple. There was another man along the same line. No doubt Joseph of Arimathea knew him, the man named Nicodemus. He came to Jesus. Are you? He was also a council member. So they were secret disciples, the Bible says. They wouldn't do it openly. So here, but now Jesus is being crucified. Who comes for the body? Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. So the verse continues, he was from Arimathea, city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of a rock where no one had ever lain before. So just by explanation in your notes, death means separation. In this situation, the spirit separates from the body, with the spirit returning to God, the body remaining here for burial. So I just put in your notes too. In funeral talk, they may refer to the body as the remains. And you may hear, where are the remains, or what did you do with the remains? That which remained here. So anytime there's a death, there's a separation of some kind, whether it's animal or plants or our life, this body. Ecclesiastes, then the dust shall return to the earth as it was. The spirit will return to God who gave it. James says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, even so faith without works is dead. Then again, to prove that Jesus died in John 19. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. When they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. In Acts chapter 2, verse 22, Peter's lesson in Jerusalem to those devout Jews. In this part of his lesson, he said, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." And then Peter reaches that point in his sermon in verse 36. You know, "This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ." When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and cried out, "Men and brethren," that's Acts 2, verse 38. Oh, wow. Now then the scriptures, and I'm not going to read them all because you can read, but let's just kind of get started a little bit. I have some added notes in my in my papers, but these are just in order. You had to look, you know, get the concordance out. Look up the word death or dying or something along that line. And so these are in order that they're found in the Bible, not put together like an encyclopedia with you know, all the blood verses together and some other things. So Matthew 26, this is at the institution of the Lord's Supper, of the Passover. So in Matthew 26, verse 27, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." So when we ask the questions, why did Jesus die? That's going to be one of the lessons, the blood of the new covenant. I'll give you a lesson on the Old Testament versus New Testament. In John 1:29, the next day, this is right after the baptism of Jesus. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. He said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Oh, Lamb, that has reference to sacrifice, doesn't it? "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Then John 3:16, "Jesus, why did you die?" Oh, the Father's love. God, and I'll do this one next week, John 3:16, Lord willing. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son." Jesus, why did you keep asking your question? You know, "Jesus, why did you die?" In John chapter 10, "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Verse 15, "I lay down my life for the sheep." John 12, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. Wow. So Jesus, why'd you die? To draw people to myself. John 15, "Greater love is no man than this." Jesus, why'd you die? To demonstrate the greatest love. Lay down your life for your friends. Acts 20, Paul telling to the elders, "Take heed to yourselves, to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." Yeah. Jesus, why'd you die? Purchase the church. In Romans 3, "Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood." We don't use that word very often, propitiation. It's used one other time in 1 John. Typically, I think of it as a peace offering. We don't have anything in our hand that we could present back to God. So what we present, God provided a peace offering for us, a propitiation. What we present back to God is a Christ-like life. Just as God accepted Christ's life and resurrected him and ascended him to his own right hand, by us being in Christ, God accepts our Christ-like life. And that way, Christ becomes what we present back to God as a propitiation for our sins. So it's a peace offering. I don't have anything else to present to God except the life of the Son. Put your life in his, And just as God did for him, he'll do for us in Christ. Romans 4, delivered for our offenses. Yeah. Romans 5, we are yet without strength in due time. Christ died for the ungodly. Page 3. So Jesus, why'd you die? For the ungodly. But much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Yeah. So Jesus, why did Jesus die? So we could be saved from wrath. For the death that he died unto sin once for all. That the life that he lives to God. So you could almost read this one there, he died once for all. I didn't want to rewrite the whole book of Hebrews. But that's the lesson on Christ making his sacrifice once. And the Hebrew writer always makes that comparison. Remember the daily sacrifices, the annual sacrifice, the whole book of Hebrews? Well, this is going to be one of the reasons why. Jesus, why'd you die? To offer a sacrifice for sin one time, once for all. Romans 8, God did not spare his own son, delivered him up for us. For us. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Romans 14, to this end Christ died, rose again, that he might be Lord of both the living and the dead. There's a reason. Jesus, why did you die? 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, for indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Remember, that includes that verse where John said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Oh, he's our Passover. 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins. 2 Corinthians 5, he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. Right. So there's an expectation from us. We don't want to just, in an educational sense, explain, well, Jesus, I'll tell you why Jesus died. No, there's a response that we should live a certain way. Verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5, to be sin for us. Put the reasons in bold print so you don't have to read the whole verse many times. Galatians 1, gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. Our deliverance again. Ephesians 1, in him we have redemption through his blood. To provide redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 2, this would be a separate lesson too, because in Ephesians chapter 2, there's about 20 verses that Paul gives the difference. He said, you were far off, made nigh. You're strangers, now in the covenant. There's about 6 or 7 illustrations concerning what the Gentiles were and what they are now. So in Ephesians chapter 2, I think that would be one more lesson I'll draw up. He said, but now in Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross. So the gospel is for all, is the conclusion, the message. Ephesians 5, 2, walk in love as Christ also has loved us and gave himself for us. So not only do you have in John 3, 16, God so loved, Christ loved too. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church, gave himself for her. Colossians 1, delivered us. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. 1 Thessalonians 5, God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. Jesus, why did you die? 1 Timothy 2, verse 6, another word is introduced. Who gave himself a ransom. So we'll work on the definition of ransom. You'll pay the song we just sang. He paid a debt that he didn't owe. But I owed a debt that I couldn't pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace. Christ Jesus died for me. All the Hebrew verses. They're all on a similar theme. He doesn't need daily. No, he did that once for all. Hebrews 9, entered the most holy place. In Hebrews, also Hebrews 9, verse 15, for this reason, he's the mediator of the new covenant by means of death. So I'll give you the, Jesus, when he died, established a legal will. You know, will has requirements. The death of a, I can't think of, I'll give you a lesson on this, but the death of a testator, a legacy, witnesses, the reading of the will, conditions. So I'll give you in a lesson, Lord willing, Jesus' New Testament covenant or will is legal, even by today's standards. I did this one last week for you, Hebrews 12, verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him. You know, he gave his life willfully or voluntarily. He gave us what we needed, and he gave it sacrificially. Otherwise, there wouldn't be joy in the gift of giving us salvation. Christ suffered for 1 Peter 2. Christ suffered for us, that we should follow his steps. Again, our response in 1 Peter 2:24, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Jesus, why did you die? For us, for our sins, for our cleansing. You know, these verses, you know, like I say, they coincide. Many of them just, they fit together. And then 1 John 3:16, by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And then the word propitiation again. In 1 John 4:10, in this is love, not that we love God. He loved us, sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, our peace offering. Then the last one, for you were slain, meaning Jesus, have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, and people. The gospel is for all. Yeah. So I went through that rather hurriedly, but we'll start a series of lessons. Next Sunday night, Lord willing, I'm going to give you an analysis of the text of John 3:16. You know, God, greatest giver, so loved, the greatest love, that he gave the greatest gift or sacrifice. I'll give you a task analysis of John 3:16 next Lord's Day. Well, we won't break custom. We'll still stand and sing a song as we do.